And we're going to begin there. I'm going to take a little bit different twist after we read this scripture today, because the Lord placed something on my heart. And that story of the coffee bean and the egg goes right along with it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When does the transformation process stop? Not until you get to heaven. Until you get to heaven, while you're on this earth, God will be continually working in us to transform us into the image of Christ. Amen? The ultimate goal of a Christian's life is to be Christ-like in our words, in our behavior, in how we treat others. We need to do it like Christ did it. Amen? That's really what a Christian means. And here, Paul is pleading with the church to renew their minds. See, you're not going to be transformed unless you renew your mind. Unless you change the way you thought about things into a different way of thinking. Amen? God has given us the ability to change. Whether we like change or not, change is inevitable. How many have found that out? Whether we like change or whether we're good with it, guess what? Change happens. And sometimes our situation changes because God wants to see what kind of character you are. He wants to see what's really in your heart. He wants, you know what? And we're supposed to live our lives inside out, aren't we? That's how God works. Well, you know, the Christian life, it should be a solid life. When you give your life to Christ, that doesn't mean you're void from problems. Problems will come. But you know what? Problems came when you weren't in Christ, didn't they? Problems come when you're not in Christ. Problems come when you're in Christ. But when you're in Christ, you have an advantage. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he said, this is the faith, this is our faith overcomes the world. Do you realize that with faith, you can overcome the world? You don't have to do things like the world does them. It's okay to be different, amen? We're just passing by on earth. We're not gonna set up camp here. We're just here for a season. You know, your life is like a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. In the span of time that God's given each of us, how much of that time do you live for the Lord? How much of God's will are you doing in that span of time? Whether it's 70 years, 80 years, 90 years? Think about it. What is that in comparison to eternity? But the transformation is really when we become what the Bible says. We literally let the Word of God change us to such a degree that we become what it says and we're practicing it in a practical way. How many know the Bible is practical? Amen. It's very practical. We can do what God said. We have to activate the nature of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we become partakers of the divine nature through the knowledge of his promises. When we get to know what God's given us, when we get to know what his word said, then we can we actually partake of his divine nature. Okay? And Jesus, he faced opposition, didn't he? You know, it's amazing how there were still some people that didn't love someone who never did anything wrong. What did Jesus do with opposition? He overcame it. He didn't let opposition deter him from what God called him to do. He never blamed his circumstance for why he couldn't obey God. He did what God wanted him to do because he lived a transformed life. You know, a transformation doesn't take place in one day. It takes place over a lifetime. You actually have to walk out the change. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, doesn't it? Okay? Jesus faced death, but he rose above it. He faced the extremes of the world and was victorious over it all. Even the people that crucified him, that nailed him to the cross, he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you've got to have a transformed mind if you're going to be able to say that. Amen? Let me tell you, there may have been people that hurt you, but you've got to forgive them. You've got to release them of the debt you think they owe you. Isn't that what Jesus did to us? And see, the Christian life is also a sure life. We have a sure foundation. Amen? So I want your life to be strengthened today because we're going to face storms. We're going to face trouble. We're going to face tragedy. But you've got to decide right now before the tragedy. You have to decide before the tragedy comes, what kind of person are you going to be? So we're going to talk about how Jesus is the rock today. Amen? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. I believe that God wants to strengthen you today. He wants to shore up your foundation so that you're not on shaky ground. He wants to strengthen your foundation so that when these things come, you'll make it through. You'll overcome. You'll be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says this, He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Did they use some words in there that are unchanging, that are stable, that are steadfast? That's the kind of rock that I'm talking about. Okay? God is our rock. His work is perfect. God doesn't create junk. Amen? That's good news because if God created me, that means I know that I'm not junk. No matter what anybody has said to you, what God says supersedes what anybody else has ever said. For all his ways are judgment. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. He will judge because he's a judge. But mercy always precedes judgment. Amen? God will give people opportunity after opportunity to change, to repent, to be transformed before judgment comes. But if we don't take those opportunities, judgment will come. Okay? He's the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no way to the Father but through Jesus. He is the only way. Aren't you glad he's a God of truth? You can trust truth. You can rely on truth. Truth will uphold you. Actually, knowing the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. All right? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to give your fingers a workout today. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. We're going somewhere this, pun intended, I'm laying the foundation. Look at 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. Woo! Our God is a unique rock. He's a rock that's not going to go anywhere. Don't matter what comes his way, that rock is not changing, that rock is not giving ground, that rock is not going to lose its place. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Woo! You know, he's the first initiator of rock and roll when he moved the stone away from the tomb. He did a jailhouse rock, I guess. Broke free. Go to Psalm 18, verse 2. Psalm 18, verse 2. I'm going to convince you that God is the rock. Amen? I'm just presenting my witnesses right now, and I'm establishing my case. Psalm 18, we'll read verses 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Do you know that the Lord is your strength? The Lord is my rock. Notice how personal he is. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Hallelujah. Woo! God is your strength and your buckler. Your buckler is a form of a shield. He's your deliverer. There's nothing you can find yourself in that he can't get you out of. He's your deliverer. He can bring you up from the pit. He can bring you out of a bad situation. That's who he is. He's my strength. He's my fortress. Guarded by angels. You know, one time it was Elisha. His servant was very worried because he looked outside and he saw all the Syrian army surrounding them. And the servant was a little bit on edge. He was anxious. He was worried. And he looked at Elisha, and he was like, how come you're not worried? Because Elisha says, they that be with me are greater, are more than they that be with them. And he prayed to God for his servant, for his eyes to be open. And when his eyes were open, he looked around and he saw fiery chariots all around Elisha. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day, because he's your rock. He's your deliverer. He's your fortress, a place of safety. He's your refuge. He's the strength of your salvation. And in order to walk in this, you must renew your mind. In order to receive the benefits that God has given us, you must change the way you think. Because the only way that you'll change the way you behave is if you change the way you think. If your thinking remains the same, your behavior will remain the same also. Because your thinking affects your behavior. So God is telling us that we have to renew our minds that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove that God is at work by the change that takes place. Amen? We should be growing, we should be changing, we should be increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 14. We used to say this every time we finished chapel at Lee University. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my Lord, my God, my strength and my Redeemer. Every chapel we had to end that. So that's been ingrained in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable where? Let me ask you this. Are your words and the meditation of your heart acceptable to God? Would God approve of the thoughts you have and the words you speak? Don't raise your hand. Just think about that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength. That word strength also is rock, my redeemer. He can redeem you. What is to redeem mean? Something that lost value now has value. That's redemption, just in a very simple form. So God is your strength and your redeemer. But your words and your thoughts affect how God works in your life. Words will work for you negatively or positively. Amen? The person who says they can't and the person who says they can are both right. Why did God make words so powerful? I don't know, you're going to have to ask him when you get to heaven. But from the very beginning, he created this universe with words. And we have the ability to use words. And the words you use will either cause victory or defeat to come in your life. All right? Let's go to Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17. Let's read verse 9, Isaiah 17, 9. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Now look at verse 10. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation. Is it possible for people to forget what God has done for them? Absolutely. And have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore shall you plant pleasant plants, and shall eat it with strange slips or imported vines. You know, some people live as if they've forgotten that God is their strength. When you're relying on yourself, then you only have yourself and your resources to get you through whatever you face. And how many know that that's never enough? Everything that we have, everything that we own, will always fall short of what God, but we must remember that God is our strength. We must remember that no matter what we face, we can overcome anything with, if God is for you, who can be against you? The answer is no one. If God is for you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God is for you, he won't let anything take you out of his hand. But it's not all up to God. It's up to us. And how we believe he's our rock. He's our fortress. You know, the Bible says, the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to him and are safe. Well, what if you're not running to God? Then you're still exposed to the danger. So you've got to do the running to God. Amen? You've got to do the coming to God. And quite frankly, you've got to submit to God's will and way. Now, there will be people who resist what God wants to do in their life. They'll make excuses like something happened to me here or something happened to me there or they did this to me here or I can't do that or I can't do that. There's all kinds of excuses that people make for not fulfilling God's will for their life. But how many know all those excuses will not amount to a hill of beans? Amen? Whatever God tells you you can do, you can do. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You know, if anything, today the Lord's going to strengthen your foundation so that when things happen, you'll be ready. How many know it's harder to get ready when things are happening than it is to get ready before they happen? It's a lot harder to try to get things, to try to build your defense when you're being attacked than it is to build your defense in knowing ahead that you're going to be attacked. Amen? It's a lot better to be ready than to have to get ready in that moment. What kind of shoes should a Christian have on their feet? With readiness, shoes of readiness, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you know what? We have an edge because we have the Holy Spirit who shows us things to come, who speaks to us, who leads us into all truth. And so with his information and his inspiration, we can outsmart the enemy. Because in compared to the Holy Spirit, the enemy is dumb. Amen? I mean, who else would get kicked out of heaven? Think about that's dumb. Let's look at verse 16 of Matthew 16. Jesus asked this question to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? I'm not looking for an answer, but I'm going to ask you this question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that he is to you? Who is he to you? Is he your Savior? Great. Is he your baptizer with fire? Great. You know, John said, he who comes after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the result is that you will speak in unknown languages. And those languages, you talk directly to God. All right? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, now he wasn't talking about Peter as a rock, Peter was a pebble. The rock was the revelation of who Jesus is. You've got to know who Jesus is for yourself. You can't say, well, my parents know that Jesus is their Savior, so I know him as my Savior. No, you got to know him for yourself. You got to know God as a provider for yourself. There's only, when a person gets born again, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can only ride on someone's shirt tails for a short time. God then expects you to grow, and he expects you to walk with God. He expects you to do what he tells you to do, amen? And we are responsible for anything that God said in his word and anything he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So revelation of who Jesus was is the rock that Jesus is building his church on. We got to have a revelation of who he is. Amen? And you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 10:4, it tells us that the rock that brought forth water in the wilderness was Christ. He is your source of supply, isn't he? He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. So even though Moses was hitting a physical rock, that rock that he hit represented Christ. He was the rock in the wilderness. You know, you could be in a wilderness today, but I want you to know that there's a rock following you. And when you have need in the wilderness, that rock can bring supply out of nowhere. Amen? He can bring something out of nothing because he's a creator. You just got to trust him. You got to believe him. You got to activate your faith in him. Okay? Psalm 71. He is a rock of refuge that you can always go to. Today, tomorrow, in a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, every year, year after year, you can always go to God. God has an open door policy. Whenever you have a need, you can always come to him. You can always bring your request before him. You can always ask him. When you don't understand something, don't act like you do. Just ask him and he'll show you. That's how we rely on him as our rock. Go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. How does that relate to renewing our minds? Well, if you don't change your mind about how you think about God, you're actually going to miss out benefits that he's provided for you. You know, if your mind is still thinking like the old man, like the old way, then you're going to miss out on God because the natural man can't receive anything from God. We must change the way we think about things. No matter what happened to you in your life, you've got to see yourself as an overcomer. You've got to see yourself as a conqueror. You've got to see yourself as victorious, and that has to do with your mind. Amen. It has to do with, because your mind controls the body. Psalm 62, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 7. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. Do we really wait on God, or do we get anxious sometimes and act before we wait on him? Don't answer that question. Just keep smiling and looking forward. Notice what he says. He only is my rock. Listen, I'm not talking about two rocks. I'm not talking about three rocks. I'm talking about one rock. But too many times, people are in between two rocks. It could be the rock of tradition. It could be the rock of their experience. It could be the rock of the devil's lies. And all these things, what they do is they bind you. What they're designed to do is they're designed to prevent you from moving forward. Okay? And Jesus comes along now, and he is an entirely different rock. Man, he's a different planet. Did you know that you're an alien? Take me to your leader. Gladly, his name is Jesus. And this rock puts these rocks to shame. Because every time you try to anchor in these rocks won't keep you still or stable. Actually, these rocks will be erratic. But this rock, you can anchor in this rock, and there's no storm, there's no wind, there's no rain that could come that's going to move this rock. And you'll be, no matter what comes your way, you'll be better in the end with this rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. You know, sometimes you don't have to defend yourself. There were times when Jesus was silent. When people were accusing him of things, he didn't have to defend himself. Why? Because God is our defense. But do you trust God enough to be your defense? Or do you think you have to defend yourself? Pastor, you're touching on things. I know. Isn't it good? I shall not be greatly moved. If God is your defense, then why is your life so sporadic? Up and down like a roller coaster. Your life looks like a ride at Hershey Park. If God is your defense, and if you're trusting him as your defense, guess what? That means that you're not moving from what you believe. Go ahead and make me. I'm not going to move. Amen? That's how we have to approach what we believe in God. Whatever you're believing for. What if you need healing? I'm not moving on the fact that Jesus is my healer. I don't care what my body feels. I don't care what others tell me. I'm not moving from this fact. I am standing that Jesus is my healer. How do you feel? Oh, Jesus is my healer. How's that thing on your arm? Jesus is my healer. I'm making Jesus bigger than the thing that I'm experiencing. I'm not denying the thing. I'm just saying something different. That's what it means to trust God as your rock. Verse 3, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. You shall be as a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency, they delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. See, some people delight in lies. When you delight in lies, you're agreeing with the enemy. My soul, wait only on you, upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Say that with me. Say, I shall not be moved. Whatever it is you need God to do for you, don't move from what his word says about that. Amen? You got to be like, you know, a bulldog with his favorite bone. You give a bulldog a favorite bone and try to get that bone from his mouth. You know, they stick it. When the devil tries to take your bone, you got to, right? Amen? That's how we got to be. Do you realize the devil is a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? And you've got to prevent him from stealing from you. He will try to take your joy. He'll try to take your blessing. He'll try to lead you down a dead-end road and then beat you over the head because you're there. You know, Jesus, the Bible says that God laid a stone in Zion. Some people step on that stone and they go higher because they change. Other people stumble over that stone because they refuse to change. Christ is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block for many. You're either for God or against him. There's no gray area. There's no middle, you know, well, you know, you can't be for some of your man-made ways and some of God's man. You listen, it's got to be all God, all right? Now, let's go to Matthew 7. This is where we want to go today. Now that you know who the rock is, we can confidently now build our life on the rock. How many are interested in building your life on the rock? Okay? Matthew chapter 7, let's start with verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Isn't that interesting? False prophets come looking like a sheep. They smell like a sheep because they're wearing sheep's clothes. You know, like Jacob did when he deceived his father, Isaac. He put on goat hair. And, you know, Isaac said, well, you smell like Esau and you feel like Esau, but it wasn't Esau. And here the devil, he comes disguised as a Christian. But the difference is what's on the inside. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Now, a wolf wants to have a sheep for dinner, and there's only one plate. Think about that for a minute. That means the sheep is the dinner. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. See, a wolf is a wolf on the inside because they've never been transformed on the inside. They've never allowed God's grace and love to enter into their hearts. They're cold, they're hard-hearted, they're stiff-necked, they're rebellious. Okay? God says, I want you to do this. And you said, no, I'm not going to do that. God says, okay, I want you to go here. No, I'm not going to go there. That's how a wolf would act. Because you know them by their fruits. You know them by how they live. How they do things, it reveals what's on the inside. You cannot hide what's on the inside. If you have lying in your heart, when you have the opportunity, you will lie. We see it every day in the world. Okay? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree, well, no, verse 60, you know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? No, you don't. If you haven't been transformed, you will live like an untransformed person. Does that make sense? Okay? Even so, every good tree brings forth what kind of fruit? Good trees, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. How can you change the fruit of your life? You got to deal with the roots. You got to deal with what's on the inside. You got to deal with the heart. See, Jesus deals with the heart. When he wanted a king, he didn't look for who was the most muscular or who was the most handsome. He looked for someone who had a heart after God. And someone who had a heart after God will protect the sheep. They'll kill the lion. They'll kill the bear. They'll raise up the challenges. They'll do what's necessary for God's kingdom. Amen? Okay. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You've got to change the roots. If you want to change the tree, you got to change the roots. The roots is your heart. Okay? Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You will know a person, you will know what a person believes by what they do. You'll know what they believe by what they say. Amen? Now notice, he gets into where we're going to build on the rock. Verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because entering the kingdom of heaven is less about saying and more about doing. Notice, they say, Lord, Lord. You realize the Pharisees said that they were followers of God, but Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. John called the Pharisees serpents. A snake is camouflaged. Most snakes that are poisonous, they contain a poison, but they use camouflage to get their prey. Now, if John called the Pharisees serpents, that's not a compliment. If someone calls you a snake, they're not giving you a compliment. They're revealing what nature you are. Okay? But did the Pharisees have to stay serpents? They could have come to John, they could have repented of their sin, and they could have been forgiven. Amen? What if you have something on the inside of you that doesn't please God? Can you change it? Or are you stuck with it? Say, I can change it. But it's going to require different action on your part. It's going to require you to think differently about it. You're going to have to call sin, sin. There's no such thing as a big sin or a little sin. Sin is sin. There's no such thing as a white lie. I don't care what color you put on it, a lie is wrong. Lying is wrong. Lying is from the enemy. Amen? Not everyone that says unto me, who are they talking to? They're talking to the Lord. They're talking in a place where others necessarily can't see them. But, if they're not going to enter into heaven, who is? He that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The doers of God's will are going to go to heaven. Amen? What's going to keep a person out of heaven? Let me do a quick quiz. If you think smoking is going to keep you out of heaven. How many think smoking would keep a person out of heaven? It doesn't. There's only one thing that keeps a person out of heaven. That is rejecting Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, when you accept Jesus Christ, there are requirements. You can't just live any ordinary way after accepting Christ. Because once you accept Christ and his terms, you got to follow the whole thing. Amen? You got to work it out. You got to walk it out. Okay? Those who do the will of my Father. Now, if you don't know God's will, you're in danger. If you don't know what your purpose is, you better get Pastor Fiona's book, The Purpose of You. It'll help you. You know, I've met Christians that have been Christians for 10 years and they don't know what God wants of them. How is that possible? It's not like God is keeping his will. I'm going to hide my will from them so they don't see it. Listen, if you seek, what's going to happen? You'll find. If you knock on the door, is the door going to remain shut? If you ask, you're going to what? Receive. So if you want to find out what God's will for your life is, ask, knock, or ask, seek, and knock, A-S-K. Okay, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And I want you to notice why he says, Lord, Lord. He's establishing a pattern. You know, someone can say Lord, but then can you follow it up with the lifestyle? In other words, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Right? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? They could have been in a church that prophesied. But they themselves individually probably didn't prophesy. They were part of a group that prophesied, that believed in prophecy. You know what? We believe in prophecy here too. We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in your name, have we cast out devils? You know what? We believe in casting out devils here. And then I will profess unto them, here's the key, I never knew you. We haven't had a talk with God for so long that when we come to him, it's like, who are you? I never knew you. What does knowing a person mean? It means having a relationship, right? We've got to have our own relationship. Young people, you better have a relationship with the Lord. You better read the Bible yourself. You better have a talk with God yourself. You better have a relationship. A relationship involves what you do and what you say. How many know that? Married couples, if you say the wrong thing, it messes up your relationship. Doesn't it? Jesus said, I never knew you. How do you know God? If you believe me, do what I command. So someone who knows God is someone who's doing God's will for their life. And God's got a plan for every one of you. I believe wholeheartedly, Caleb, that you're called to be a doctor. And he's pursuing that plan. I know without a doubt that I'm called to preach the gospel. Because my sister got the singing voice and I got the preaching voice. And you know what? If there's breath in your body, it's not too late to start doing the will of God. Amen. Moses didn't get into God's will until he was 80. He was doing it in the flesh. He was doing it according to Egypt, which is a type of the world. God had to take him out of Egypt. He had to take him out of the world, and he had to lead sheep. How long did Moses lead sheep? 40 years. He was on the backside of the desert. He wasn't in the public eye. How many would have faith to lead sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years? Huh? Some of us would get impatient after 1 year. I'm tired of being with these smelly sheep on the backside of the desert. No one can see me. I just want to. And that's the problem. You've got complaining in your heart, and that's never been transformed. And it comes out when the pressure's on. A Christian is called to submit to authority. Doesn't matter what the authority is. The person who had the greatest faith in all of the New Testament was the Roman centurion. He said, I'm under people, and people are under me. And Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith in all Israel. When you can't submit to authority, you're going against God's plan. Because what's in your heart is rebellion. And unless that's transformed into humility, then God's not going to be able to use you. We will set up a first aid station in the kitchen, and we will apply bandages to every sore feet. Let's look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and what? It's not enough just to hear them. It's not enough just to go to church every week or how often they ever have service. You can hear and hear and hear and hear, but until you do it, God's not going to bless you. You're not blessed because you hear, you're blessed because you do what you hear. Amen? I didn't say that. This is Jesus talking. He's the representative of the Father's kingdom. I will liken unto him a wise man. Those of you that hear God's word and do it, you are wise. You're a wise woman, a wise man. Because you hear it and you do it. You hear it and you do it. You hear it and you do it. That's how it works. That's how you renew your mind. You read it, you study it, and you apply it. I will liken to him a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. Are you built on the rock today? Is your foundation sure? Or have circumstances and things come up in life that have shook you to the brink of disaster? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. The house is representative of your life. Floods, winds, and rain are things that come up in life. And beat upon that house, and it fell not, praise the Lord. For it was founded upon the rock. When you're on the rock, when you're founded on the rock, when your roots go into the rock, it doesn't matter what happens in life because you're on the rock. The rock will deliver you. The rock will sustain you. The rock will provide for you. The rock will see you through. The rock will partner with you in it. He showed up in the furnace. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in, he showed up in the furnace because they didn't deny him outside the furnace. See, that shows you what was really in their heart. It was really in their heart to trust God. And when King Nebuchadnezzar, when they refused to bow, they had an uncompromising heart. Because when the pressure was on, they didn't bow. And because they didn't bow, Jesus showed up. And they were delivered. They didn't even smell like smoke. In other words, when you're on the rock, no matter what you go through, there's not going to be any residue of what you went through. There's going to be no residue, no odor, nothing, because you're going to come out so victoriously. You're going to come out like a champion. You know, the race can be hard until you cross the finish line. But once you cross the finish line, you forget how hard the race was. But you kept in there, you stayed in there, you held your position, you moved when you needed to move, you shifted when you needed to shift it, and you won. You crossed the finish line. Now you get the prize. Now notice the opposite side of the coin. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, they don't do them. Why don't they do them? Whatever, they refuse. You know, everybody has a will. Everybody has choices. You don't have to obey God. You don't have to go to a church. You don't have to support the gospel. You don't have to do that. But I wouldn't want the consequences that come with that. Because God does give us our own choice. Each one of us have our own will. And God will not override your choice. If you want to choose to be rebellious, God will resist you. If you want to choose to be joyful, God will rejoice with you. Amen? And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Notice, the foolish and the wise person had the same rain, the same wind, and the same storm. It came against their house the same way. But when it was all said and done, the man on the sand, what happened? He fell, and great was the fall. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. As a Christian, the image you're to have of yourself is the image of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. We are changed according to his image. We are from glory to glory. You've got to pattern your life after a new image. You are who the Bible says you are. You can do what the Bible says you can do. And you can have what the Bible says you can have. The question is, now you've got to change the way you think about it. Well, you know, I've been coming to this church and I disagree with Pastor 100%. But you know what? Since I've been coming here, it's pretty good. That tells me that there's a change. And you know what? I understand that this church isn't for everybody. People will come and people will go. They've been doing that ever since Jesus walked this earth. But you know what? Today, you can build your life starting today on the rock. You can have a solid foundation. You can trust Christ with your whole heart. You can acknowledge him. He is whatever you need at the moment because he said, I am that I am. If you need healing, he's your healer. If you need to be saved today, you can be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means to ask Jesus into your heart. Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be Lord over my life. Jesus will come into your life only by invitation. He won't force his way in. And there are some things that God has told people, and for whatever reason you refuse to do it, you need to change your mind. There's blessing for doing it, and there's heartache for not. Amen? But we can root our lives on the rock today. Because guess what? Storms are going to come. I don't care who you are, how much money you have, what position you have, storms will come. Milton Hershey went bankrupt, what was it, 3 times before he made it big? 7. Wow. That shows someone refusing to quit. Some people, they just give up too easily. It's too hard. I don't feel like praying so long. Lord, you're telling me to fast. I don't want to fast. But you don't know the blessing until you do it. There's a blessing for whatever God says, whatever God asks of you. He will not ask of you without blessing you for it. So if you need to be, is there anybody that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today? You don't know if you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're not sure that if something happens to you tomorrow, you don't know where you're going to go. Is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior? If there's anybody here that doesn't know that, raise your hand. Because I want you to know today. Is there anybody going through a storm and your foundation is being tested? Will come and strengthen that foundation today with the anointing. Oh, he'll give you fresh oil. He'll lubricate that foundation so that that oil fills in all the cracks and all the crevices so that nothing can get in and shake it. Maybe you just need fresh oil today. Those of you that need fresh oil, come. Those of you that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come. Those of you that need to strengthen your foundation, come. Amen? I've said what I had to say. Now it's your turn.